Good morning. Let's turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. I'm going to read from a different version. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you, that I give you today, are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then, when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God and serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. For the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Father, thank you for this morning. I just pray that you will speak to us, God, and we invite your presence this morning. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I've been doing Deuteronomy for my own personal devotional, so I just wanted to share with you what I read this morning. So again, Deuteronomy is like a sermon that Moses is giving to the people of Israel before they go into the promised land. This is kind of like the last sermon, because Moses knows he's not going to make it to the promised land, right? So he wants to like really prepare the people of Israel so that when they go to the promised land, they will be doing okay. And so we start off, you know, in the previous chapter, right before chapter 6, is when Moses is giving them the Ten Commandments, you know. What is it? You shall have no other gods before you, don't make idols, keep the Sabbath holy, all those things. The Ten Commandments that Moses gives, and then we come to this in verse 1, right? He says, these are the commands, decrees, and the laws that God direct me to teach you. So I'm teaching you this, and he says, I'm teaching you this so that you can fear the Lord and keep all his decrees and commands so that you will enjoy long life. And it says, be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey. So I just want to point out to you that God's commands to the people of Israel, they're not arbitrary. God's not just making up a bunch of rules and saying, you need to obey this just because, you know, because I'm your God and I want you to obey me. So you need to obey these things. God says you obey them because it's going to be good for you. Because if you obey my commandment and live in the way that I'm telling you to live, you're going to prosper. You know, you're going to do well in the land that I give to you. So God's giving these commands for our blessing. And we've said this many times at church, that God is not a killjoy. Right? He's not out there just to make our lives miserable and to make it very restricted and to keep us from having all the fun. He gives us the rules, and when he asks us to do something, it's for our benefit, right? And it's going to bless us, it's going to prosper us, and we're going to do better by doing it. And I also want to point out to you, you know, God the Father here is saying, here, obey these commands so that you will do well in the promised land and that you will have full life, basically. You know, that your life will be good. And this is very similar to what Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus says, hey, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I came that you might have life. And so what's interesting here, I want to draw a comparison, is God in the Old Covenant, God says, here are these rules and these things that you must do that you might have abundant life. But the people of God eventually fail, right? Because we cannot keep the Old Covenant on our own strength. Right? We can't keep all the rules, all the law, all the commandments of God on our own strength. And God knows that, so eventually what God does, because his goal is for us to have abundant life, he says, do the commands and you will have abundant life, but we can't do the commands. So then God says, well, I'm going to send my son, Jesus, and Jesus comes so that we might have abundant life, not through us obeying the law, but through us just believing in him, you know, and having him transform our hearts. So, yeah, I just want to point out, you know, God is a good God and he wants to give us abundant life. He wants our life to prosper and to be well. You know, there is some truth to prosperity gospel. You know, that God wants to bless his children. God wants his people to do well in what they're doing and to be blessed and to be, to have this abundant, joyful life, you know, on this earth. So that's the first part. You know, he says, the commands I give you, they're not arbitrary. I'm giving them to you so that you might enjoy life. And then the very famous passage in Deuteronomy 4 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Just one thing that I want to say to you is, here you see God's heart, that he's not just about obedience. You know, he's not just about rules and obedience. He actually wants to have a relationship, right? This is the greatest commandment. Jesus says in the New Testament, right? Jesus says, this is the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So Jesus, you know, God's heart is not that we would just be, like slaves, you know, like just obedient servants that keep their law and our teacher's pets kind of thing. You know, he wants a love relationship. That's what he's mostly after. And then he says, you know, these commandments I give to you, they're to be in your heart all the time. You know, talk to people about them. You know, put them on your doorpost. Put them on your forehead. Write them on your hand. And kind of the picture that I get is this picture of obsession, being obsessed with somebody. You know, like if in our human relationship, if we like fall in love and we become obsessed with someone or something, you know, we tell everybody about it. You know, we talk to people about this person or this thing that we just found out, and we become obsessed with this thing. That's kind of the picture I get, that God is saying, hey, you know, like I want my relationship with you to be something that you're obsessed about, that you tell everybody about it, you know. And I think that's what we should do, you know? I don't know what's going on. You know, like, when we have, I lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah. Evangelizing, you know? Sharing the gospel with people. I think I kind of feel like this is kind of talking about it, you know? Because he says, tell everybody about it. You know, talk to people and impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Talk about me. You know, talk about this relationship. Talk about the commandments that I've given you. And I think for us is, you know, this relationship that we have with Jesus, this gospel that we have, we need to be sharing it with other people. You know, we need to talk about it when we are lying down, when we're getting up, when we're going along the road, when we're sitting at home, looking for opportunity to share this gospel with the people around us. And just something that God just was convicting me about yesterday when I was listening to the Bible, you know, You've Got the Time, Hong Kong. I don't know what the passage was, but basically God was saying, you need to share the gospel with your security guard, You know? Oh, you know what it was? I was doing my prayer walk because Thursday morning I fast for the building, right? So I go to the building and I'm doing my prayer walk and I'm like blessing the building and I'm blessing the people inside it. And then I felt kind of silly because I'm in a building already, but I'm not doing anything to bless the people that's around me right now. But then I'm praying for the people that, I don't know, the building that hopefully we will move to, and I'm praying that God, you will bless them. And so I was like, God was saying, you got to bless the people around you now. And there's a guy downstairs, his name is Andy. He's the building manager, right? And he speaks a little bit of English. And we have a good cordial relationship with the people down there. But we never, like, I don't know if anyone's ever told him about God. So yesterday I actually went and I said, hey, Andy, do you know what we do? Do you know that we're a church? You know that we love Jesus. And we just want to share him with you. But there is language barrier. He doesn't speak English that well. So hopefully I'll take Pastor Sophia one day and just share the gospel with them, you know? And I think it's good for us to be open and be just loving to people around us. You know, and I'm convicted, even on the fourth floor, there's actually a guy that smokes in the bathroom on the fourth floor. It's ridiculous. And because of that, like, I'm always like a little bit aggressive to the neighbors in the on the fourth floor. I'm just like, you know, whatever, these guys smoke and whatever. But I mean, I think I should, I'm going to try and do this, is just, you know, really smile at them and really just greet them and start building friendships with them just so you can share the gospel, you know? I think we need to get to that point where we really want to just share about Jesus' love and that it's just on our heart all the time. So that's the second part, well, Jesus, you know, God says, make sure that it's on your heart, you know, my commands and the things that I'm saying to you. And he's not just talking about memorizing in your head, right? It's about this relationship. God says, I want this relationship that we have together to be something that permeates through all of your life and that you're passionate about it all the time, that you're sharing about it all the time and talking about it. So that's the second thing. And the last part, you know, God is saying, or Moses is saying, you know, God's going to bring you. God's going to bring you to the promised land, and it's going to be amazing. You know, God's saying that you're going to have all these things that you did not do anything to earn. What does he say? God's going to bring you to the land he swore to your fathers, a land with large, flourishing cities that you did not build. Verse 11, houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide, wells that you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied. So the first part I want to say is God is bringing them to a land flowing with milk and honey that they did not do anything to earn. And that, I want to park on that for a bit and say, that's the picture of grace. You know, grace means that we didn't do anything to earn whatever it is that God is giving to us. And I felt like, as I was reading this passage just right now, that God really wanted to say something about that to us, that in our lives, the way we're raised up, you know, as children, we always think we need to earn what we get, you know? It's always a performance thing, or it's always like, I need to do this. If I want anything out of this life, if I want to be successful, if I want to do this, if I want a relationship, if I want a blessing, whatever, we always think, I need to earn it. I need to do something about it. I better make sure that I, you know, work hard and do everything that I can, and it might be difficult. I might suffer, blah, 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 but I'm going to have to earn it. But it's not that way with God. And it's not that way with this God of grace that we're serving, that we have a relationship with. And God says, you know what? You don't have to earn what I'm going to bless you with, you know, in your life. And that is the God that we serve. You know, he's a God of grace. He wants to bless his children, not because you've done enough work, you know, not because you've done a good job and you've performed well enough and you've put in enough effort. You know, he just says, you're going to go to a land, you're going to have cisterns, you're going to have cities, you're going to have houses full of goods. You didn't do anything to earn them. You didn't do anything for it, and God's going to bless you. That's kind of like what Jesus says in Matthew 6, right? He says, don't worry. You know, look at the birds of the air. They don't do anything to sow or to keep food in their barn, and the Father provides for them. Look at the lilies of the field. They don't do anything, and God clothes them. Are you not much more important? Are you not much more valuable than them? So God's saying, you know, it's not about earning. It's not about working to, like, earn God's blessing. He just wants to bless us. He just wants to bring us breakthrough. That's the first part. But then, you know, God says, be careful. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord, you know. So when you have blessing, don't forget the Lord. And then verse 13, he says, make sure that you fear the Lord your God, serve him only, take your oaths in his name. Don't follow other gods, the gods of the people around you, for the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he'll destroy you from the face of the land. That sounds quite harsh. God's saying, hey, I'm going to bring you to the promised land, but if you screw up, if you forget me, I'm going to kill you, basically. I'm going to destroy you from the face of this land. But I want us to understand, I just want to draw this picture of God as a jealous lover. And like if you look through Hosea, I'll just read this to you. Hosea 11, you don't have to turn there. It just says, when Israel was a youth, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more my prophets called them, the more they went from the prophets. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning incense to idols. Yet it is I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with the cords of a man, with bonds of love. And I became to them as one who lifts the yoke from their jaws. And I bent down and fed them. But they keep going back to what it was before. And the picture of God that you have from Hosea is really God is so in love with them that God is wooing these people. You know, God is pursuing them and saying, man, you had nothing. You are a naked baby without parents to take care of you. You are a nobody. And I loved you. And I took you from the place that you're in. And I brought you to the promised land. And I brought you to my arms of love. And I brought you to these great things. And God's doing it because he wants to have a love relationship with these people, but they keep keep turning away from God. So when God says, hey, I'm a jealous God, you know, God's saying, I'm going to bring you to this place of grace, but God's bringing these people to this place of grace so that they might have a relationship with God, that they might, you know, love God in return. So, you know, you can kind of see like where God's coming from when he says, I'm a jealous God. Because God's like doing this all out of love and saying, I'm giving you this grace so that you may return to me. And you know what's interesting? So God says, my anger will burn against you and I will destroy you from the face of the land. But God doesn't. He doesn't destroy them from the face of the land. They turn away from God. They forget about God, you know, in the land that God has given them. So God, yes, he does bring judgment. Yes, he does bring punishment. But you know what else he brings? He brings his own son. He says, God, this is not working. This commandment thing is not working. So I'm going to come down to them. So he does the ultimate grace. So he does the grace thing, giving them the land, giving them the cisterns, giving them the vineyards, whatever to, hey, I'm going to love me in return for these things I'm giving you. But they don't. So instead of destroying them all, God gives them the ultimate grace and says, you know what, I'm going to do everything I can to have you love me in return freely, you know. So he says, you know what, the vineyard's not enough, the cisterns are not enough, here's my son. And he's going to give you his life. It's, you know what, it's not just the material things now that you earn by grace. It's this relationship with me that you can have all through grace. You didn't earn it at all. You didn't earn this favor with God. And, you know, so then he says, come love me in return, you know. So, yeah, you know, God's a God of grace. And he woos us to himself. He pursues us to himself. With his grace, you know. So let us return to him. So yeah, that's it. So three things to kind of meditate upon. The first thing is, you know, God's commands, they are to give us life, abundant life. The second thing is just sharing the gospel, you know, with our neighbors. Just let it be in our heart all the time that we're passionate about it. And the last thing is just about God's grace. You know, we don't earn it. And I really believe that that's the way it is with God. That we don't have to earn it. You know, the things that you're praying for, struggling with, whatever, God's going to bring breakthrough in your life. And it's not because you put in enough suffering for it. God's just going to do it. Because He loves you and He's a God of grace. He wants to show you that He's your God of love. So Mons is going to come and lead us in some worship. And let's just go before the Lord and just spend some time with Him. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray that our church people will just be so passionate and obsessed with this gospel, you know, with the relationship with God, that we're able to share it with those around us today and throughout the rest of this week, you know. And also, let's just thank God for His grace. You know, He gives us things that we didn't do anything to provide for. We didn't do anything. We did not dig. We did not plant. We did not provide for these things. But God gives us, you know, the wells and the vineyards, and so that we can eat and be satisfied. So let's just thank God for His grace and trust that He's going to provide. You know, we're not going to have to dig and work for it. The things that God just wants to give to us, you know. Certain things are just completely by God's grace. So let's pray about that. Let's go before the Lord. Friday, our prayer focus. Let's pray for the local ministries, local churches here in Hong Kong, and let's pray for YWAM in Hong Kong. Let's pray for Sports Services International and the Shanti Ministry with Godwin, Face to Face with Jimmy, Zengshan College in Chung Chau, Feed the Hungry with Armanda, Christian Solidarity Worldwide with Anil. And just something for Sports Services International. They asked specifically for prayer for next week because they are teaching sports ministry for the DTS sports track Monday to Friday next week. So let's pray. This is Maria. She's been to our church, shared with us. Let's pray for the Sports Services International that they'll be able to teach well. And also pray for one of the team members, Junior. He's preparing for the rugby sevens with the Samoan team. Let's pray that it'll be a good time for him, that he'll be a good witness, share the gospel with them. And also, Maria and Joey, their SSI team, their volleyball team has made it to the semifinals. And they'll be playing on this Sunday. So they ask for prayer for that. So let's pray specifically for those things and also for the other local ministries in Hong Kong. For the SP ministries, let's pray for the worship team, the welcoming team, men and women's ministries, and also local outreach by Pastor Sophia. So let's pray for those four ministries in SP. pray for Friday and Sunday house churches. McCain meeting today and Beijing house church meeting on Sunday. Let's pray that it'll be a really great time of ministry and sharing and loving each other and just for God's presence to be manifest in that place. Let's pray for those house churches. Let's pray for the weekend. Let's pray tonight, Growing in Christ, the first class by Pastor Sam Kim starts, and then youth group will be meeting tonight. And then tomorrow, GIC, another GIC class meeting in the afternoon. And IP team, the intercessory prayer team, will be meeting tomorrow. And then on Sunday, we have Sunday service. Let's pray for Noah's Ark and youth group Bible study, and also pray for Larry Sine. He'll be sharing the word with us this Sunday, so let's pray that he would have just the anointing of God upon him. And also James and Boram will be getting married, two of our church members. They're in the States now for the weekend, so let's pray for their wedding too, that they'll have a beautiful wedding. So let's pray for the weekend activity. Give them peace, and that people won't feel pressure to give. It'll be just a joyous thing, you know. So let's just pray. You know, let's pray God's covering and protection over this time and the whole move. Let's also pray for the vine, and God will be with them. For this Friday early morning prayer, we thank you for watching over us throughout this week, and that we can come to you today and just at the end of the week, you know, we thank you, and we just want to live today for you as well. I pray that your presence, we will be able to remember you, you know, throughout our day, God, and really live in your grace, live in your love, live in your presence. So watch over us today. I bless every single person here, God, with your love and presence, God. And may today they will be able to hear your voice, God, and really feel your peace and comfort upon them. Be with those that are traveling for James and Bonham's wedding. We ask you to watch over them and really bless them, God, as they spend some time away as holiday and spend time together and bless the wedding. May your presence be there. May it be beautiful. And We thank you, God. We love you. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great day. Bless you guys.